Welcome to North Star Church. At North Star, our desire is to lead people to follow Jesus Christ and not simply go to church, but to be the church. The following message is by Jeff Noble, lead pastor and teacher at our Blacksburg, Virginia campus. You can find more information about North Star, including recent podcasts, news, upcoming events, and so much more at northstarfamily.org. Thanks for listening, and we hope you enjoy today's message.
Well, let me do a quick assessment that will humble me really quickly. How many of y'all have never seen me before? Raise your hands. A lot of you. That's amazing. Well, it's so good to have you here tonight. This July, I celebrated 11 years as pastor of North Star, but I have been on sabbatical for the past 2 months. And it has been a really glorious time of restfulness. I watched all of the Star Trek Next Generation, and I feel so much better for it as a human being. Never seen all of those. And we took some trips to spend some time with my family. My son got married earlier this year, so I got to hang out with him and his wife's son. Got to help my daughter get situated again at Christopher Newport, where she is a junior this year. Senior. Man, time flies. That is crazy. But anyway, we want to welcome you back to North Star, especially if you were here last week and you've come back. Thank you so much for coming. We're so grateful for you. If you've been coming over the summer, thank you. And as I'm saying thank you, I just need to say thank you to our church staff team for leading and shepherding our church so effectively over the past 2 months. Can we give God glory by giving them a hand tonight? I cannot even begin to tell you how refreshing it is to leave things in some leaders' hands that I know are competent, capable, and Christ-like, and walk away knowing that things are taken care of. And in particular, I just want to brag on Matt Simpson tonight. I don't know where he went. Yeah, we can clap for Matt. Wow. Matt was thrust into church leadership at a time that it has been very, very difficult to be a leader in a church. And he has demonstrated grace and confidence and joy and good decision making over the past couple months. There was really a point that I was like, do they really want me back? Do I need to come back? When I left, we were running like 50 people in this room. And I come back and there's like 170 people in this room. I was like, well, God's growing the church through Matt. They don't need me. And so it is so refreshing to be reminded of how dispensable you are in the kingdom of God, that it is not about any one personality, it's not about any one leader. The important thing is that we lift up and we make much of Jesus Christ. He is the head of his church, and he is who we proclaim, not just in a church service, but in our daily lives. That's why we continuously say that we should be the church. So as I was kind of dipping in and out of the live stream this summer and just had coffee with a few folks over the course of the summer, it's been really encouraging to see where you've been. And so the teaching team wrapped up Galatians while I was gone. I was just so offended. I was like, they just breezed through Galatians. And then they did an entire study of another Old Testament book while I was gone. And so that just doesn't happen here. If you've been at North Star for any length of time at all, you know we teach expositorily, line by line, precept by precept, through passage of Scripture. We've been in some pretty prolonged studies. But I go through the entire book of Jonah while I'm gone. And so tonight I thought we would start a 2-year series on the first two verses of Philippians, okay? And we're just going to stand out right there for a while. Now, as I was looking, I was listening to Matt's message last week, and I had stopped through the office once this summer to get a couple of books, and I saw some books on one of the tables there that the teaching team was using as a resource to teach through Jonah. It was Tim Keller's book called The Prodigal Prophet, and I'm a book nerd, and I was like, ooh, and I was like, can I have one of those? And they're like, okay. So I grabbed one, read it, and it was so good. But even in last week's message and looking at the last chapter of Jonah, there's this line in the last chapter of Jonah that God asks the angry prophet. And the God asks Jonah, is it right for you to be angry? See, God had been in the middle of doing something huge. He'd been in the middle of bringing repentance to a pagan city, Nineveh, and Jonah had gotten a little tweaked about it. And God asked Jonah, is it right for you to be angry? And even from Matt's message and through the scriptures, man, that was a convicting question for me, because these are days that it's easy to get angry. And so I'm so grateful for how God is able to speak through other servants to me and through scripture to me to remind me of the authenticity and authority of God's word, that if we don't allow God's word to ask us questions about our attitudes and our hearts, we're demonstrating a spirit of pride. And then as I was thinking about what does a pastor preach on when he comes back after being away for sabbatical for 2 months, and I had this sense of like pressure, like all of you are here expecting me to preach something like Peter preached at Pentecost, so that the fire falls and like, you know, everybody is just like going crazy and like that's the best message. You know, people are like, you've had 2 months to prepare for this. What are you going to give us? What are you going to serve up tonight? Well, honestly, when we're going through Galatians, there was one verse in Galatians that I could not wait to preach on. One verse in Galatians. And I won't confess that I started the Galatians series just to get to that one verse. But there is a verse that means a lot to me and influences my life personally and has influenced how I approach my relationship with Jesus Christ. And Daryl Cook got to preach that message. And I told Daryl earlier this week, I'm re-preaching that verse tonight. And it's not because I'm correcting any heresy that Daryl preached when he covered that verse, but the verse means so much to me, and I want to amplify on it and explain to you tonight why it means a lot to me, why I hope when you leave here tonight, it will change your approach and your relationship to Jesus as well. It's in Galatians chapter 5. And it starts in verse 22. You know it as the fruit of the Spirit. But in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I want you to think about how God's Holy Spirit, when He dwells within me and when He dwells within you, He produces fruit. He produces character qualities in us. And they are described and exemplified here in these couple of verses. When we walk in intimate love relationship with Jesus, you cannot stop the Holy Spirit from producing this fruit in you. So you probably recognize, and I don't want to oversimplify it, but there are two worldviews today. So let me just paint them for you. The first brushstroke is we have a biblical worldview. That those of us who follow Jesus and who adhere to the teachings of Scripture, we would say that we want to interpret life and culture and relationships and people through the lens of Scripture, through the truth of what God's Word says about us, says about culture. That is a biblical worldview. The second worldview is secular. It does not interpret culture and relationships and life and decision making through the lens of the Bible or through the lens of faith and a holy God at all. So that's important for us as we look at Galatians 5:22 tonight, because if you have a biblical worldview, you're going to see mankind, humanity, a certain way. If you have a biblical worldview, you will see me and you will see yourself and you'll see your friends, your relatives as inherently corrupt, and sinful and needing saving. Scripture says about us that there is no one who does good, that there is none righteous, that from birth we all have within us a sinful nature, and we feel that within us. We feel this tension within us to go our own way and do our own thing and want to make things and people manipulate circumstances and relationships so that we get what we want out of life. That's the biblical worldview about humanity, that we are inherently sinful and corrupt. Now, the secular worldview about humanity is that man is basically good. That humanity is good, that humanity can do anything, that humanity can solve any problem. And unfortunately, both worldviews about humanity would say that there is a problem with humanity. One would solve it externally. One would say that man is stupid and therefore needs people who are elite, privileged, and smart enough to lead the masses and do what's best for them. That would be the secular worldview. It's kind of a survival of the fittest approach. Say the man is basically stupid, so it needs some special people to rise up and herd the sheep. The biblical worldview says not that man is stupid, but that man is sinful. And that it is an internal solution such that man must repent and rely completely upon Jesus Christ to save. There's an inner heart transformation that must occur within every person. One worldview sees some people as strong and powerful and deserving, and another worldview sees people as all the same, needing ultimate redemption by a Savior. And so the passage in Galatians on the fruit of the Spirit tonight teaches us about our need for inner transformation. Because left to myself, I do not blossom with love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, self-control. That does not come out of me naturally. I feel like I'm a fairly likable guy. I mean, when I said I'd watch Star Trek The Next Generation earlier, some of you were like, man, I love that guy. I love watching Star Trek. No one in here said that. I know that. I know I'm the only person here. But I feel like I'm a decent guy, that I'm moral. But if I count on moralism to get me to heaven, I will be shocked and sadly scared when I stand before King Jesus and realize it doesn't matter how moral I am, it doesn't matter how nice I am, that if I don't bow before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and call upon Him as Savior and trust Him for my salvation, I will not go to heaven. And so I need inner transformation. So Paul in Galatians, he intentionally uses this word, the fruit of the Spirit. Think about that. It's a fruit. On the way here, I ate an apple. I don't know what it is about apples that make your teeth so squeaky clean. It's kind of nice, you know, but I'm thinking fruit. We have an apple tree in our backyard. We failed to plant peach trees in our backyard. They grew up and they just kind of withered and died, but fruit trees are intended to bear fruit. Paul says that our lives, if we are connected to the branch, to a tree, to the root, and everything is healthy, Paul says that our lives are intended and designed by God to bear this certain type of fruit as we're walking with King Jesus. He is so obviously referring back to Jesus' words in John chapter 15, 1 through 5. So turn there in your devices or in your Bibles and let's read what Paul is referring back to when he's talking about this fruit of the Spirit. John 15, verse 1. I am the true vine, Jesus says, and my Father is the gardener. Every branch in me that does not produce fruit, he removes, and he prunes every branch that produces fruit so that it will produce more fruit. Now, you are already clean because of the word that I've spoken to you. Remain in me and I in you. Just as a branch is unable to produce fruit by itself unless it remains on the vine, neither can you unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him produces much fruit, because you can do nothing without me. So as Paul is talking to this church of Galatia, and he's already said, here's what the acts of the sinful nature look like in verses 19 through about verse 21. And then he contrasts what our sinful nature living within us produces with what the Holy Spirit living within us produces. And you have this marvelous, attractive, compelling list of character qualities that if you knew a person that was characterized by love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and self-control, if you knew that kind of a person, those are the kind of people that you're like, they are refreshing to me. They are restful to me. They're reflective to me of the quality of life of Jesus Christ. And I want to be with that type of person. The remarkable thing here is that Paul, when he says that the fruit of the Spirit, and he lists them, he's referring back to what Jesus said. And Jesus says, I am the vine and you are the branches. If you stay connected to me, there's no way you're going to stop the fruit from coming out. The only way that I and you can bear this spiritual fruit in our life is through an intimate love relationship with Jesus Christ. When we walk with Jesus, connected to the vine, Jesus produces these fruit within our lives. What is it about us that makes walking with Jesus so difficult when it's supposed to be so simple? What is it that distracts us, that would make us forget that loving God with all our hearts is deliciously and delightfully fulfilling? What is it that gets us off of such a simple, delightful privilege of walking with Jesus daily? It's simply sin. Sin living within us, wanting its own way, wanting its own decision-making process, wanting to be king of our own lives. I like what Major Ian Thomas said. He says, sin is anything which falls short of his perfection. Sin is faithless independence. Repentance means stepping out of independence back into dependence, and the measure of your repentance will be the measure of your dependence. A branch can't disconnect itself from the vine and then expect to bear fruit, right? I'm no botanist, but I think that's true. We must remain connected to the vine in order to bear fruit. We desperately need an intimate love relationship with Jesus. And you know what the United States of America needs tonight? It needs a host of Christians walking in daily intimacy with Jesus. Unafraid, confident, joyful, able and ready to point people to hope and peace. We need Jesus not just for our salvation. So when we celebrated communion a moment ago, we looked back to the cross. And I think sometimes in our heads or through our churches, we communicate, hey, just trust Jesus for your salvation and everything will be good. And so we unintentionally communicate that Jesus is useful to get you out of hell and to get you into heaven, but you can go on and just live a good moral life after you make a decision for Jesus. But what I'm trying to communicate here to you tonight, it's almost a life message of mine, is that I need a daily love relationship with Jesus Christ. Lamentations 3:23 says that his mercies are new every morning. And so I know, and I've said before, I know that when I go to bed at night, I default to stupid. Because I wake up in the morning and I've forgotten all of the good things that God has done for me across the course of my life. And I forget how faithful he's been. I forget how righteous he is. I forget how dependable he is. I forget that I don't have to look at a world and stress out, but I can look at the Savior and peace out. That God is good. And so every day I have to wake up and reboot this operating system and trust again in Jesus. That's not like me being saved again, but it's like me being refreshed, renewed. His mercies are new every morning. His grace is sufficient for the troubles of each day. And so it means that we need Jesus not just for salvation, but we need to walk in an intimate love relationship with Jesus every single day, because you need it and our world needs him. Because when we walk with Jesus, he produces this fruit through us, not just through me, but through you, collectively through us. And can you imagine what a room full of 170 plus people and people on the live stream who sit down tonight, renew their relationship with Jesus in prayer, committing once again to walk in humble intimacy with him, cherishing him above every other thing in your life, and you enter into a Monday with a fresh commitment to surrender your life to Jesus that day, can you imagine the fruit that will be born on the Virginia Tech campus, in your places of work, in your home, how it would bless your children's lives, how it would bless the people that you care for, that you visit, that you interact with, as we become people characterized by the characteristics of Jesus, love and joy and peace and patience. Walking with Jesus is guaranteed to transform you from cynicism into wonder. I think we need to be amazed again at the presence of Jesus in our lives. I like what C.S. Lewis said. He didn't just write Narnia and Mere Christianity and the Screwtape Letters. He's such a prolific writer. But he says this about our tendency to forget how wonderful Jesus is. He says, like a forgotten peach at the back of the refrigerator, our concept of the majesty of God has dried up. That's such a vivid description of our tendency to forget how wonderful Jesus is. You see, we read Galatians 5:22-23, and we want to make a smoothie out of the fruit of the Spirit. I like that. You can write that down. Here's what I mean by that. We like to focus on these character qualities, don't we? And I've done it too. I've got a couple of blog entries out there in the blogosphere about choosing these different things. But here's what we can be tempted to do, because if we're not careful, this isn't just careless, but it could be sinful to focus on the fruit instead of the fruit giver. Because if we're not careful, we can say, I'm going to choose to focus on being a loving person. I'm going to choose joy. Or I'm going to choose peace. Or I'm going to focus on patience. And you can just pick out of the list. And here's the danger for that. Because in your self-effort to become a nicer person and picking out these character qualities that you want to emulate, you miss the fact that it's not you through self-effort and managing your attitude that makes yourself more loving or joyful or peaceful. It's Jesus. It's you surrendering your life to Jesus daily. The danger is trying to reproduce spiritual life and growth with our own power. You see, when we say choose joy, choose love, choose peace, and focus on those things, we don't necessarily need Jesus. We just need our self-discipline and our effort. Fruit does not grow apart from being connected to a branch. A branch does not grow apart from a tree. A tree must have roots and so on. The point is that the fruit is produced in our lives by the Spirit when we are connected in relationship to the vine, and the vine is Jesus. An intimate love relationship with Jesus is absolutely required in my life in order for me to enjoy the fruit and display His fruit. And get this, we aren't given the fruit of the Spirit just to become noticeably nicer. God doesn't display this amazing fruit in our life just so that people can look at us and say, oh, what a great person they are. They are just so refreshing and restful to be around. Now, have we realized yet that this fruit of the Spirit is actually the character of Jesus Christ? Every one of the fruit is a representation of who Jesus is. We're given the fruit of the Spirit to become more like Him and to display His glory to a really hungry world. And so Paul is saying that when we love the Lord Jesus with all of our heart, His Spirit who lives within every genuine Christian produces His character in us. And that we need to be wary of wanting this fruit as commodities. Of treating the fruit as kind of like a heaven's farmer's market. You walk in and say, ooh, that looks nice. Oh, that looks nice. I want some of that. Saint Augustine, in his book Confessions, wrote this. He loves thee too little, who loves anything together with thee, which he loves not for thy sake. In other words, what Augustine, who said it a lot more eloquently than I ever could, was just saying, it is very tempting to love creation instead of the Creator. To love the gifts instead of the giver. And every time we seek to dissect the Christian life and become good, moral, nice people through self-effort, we abandon an intimate love relationship that lives in complete dependence upon Jesus daily. And so the biblical worldview is right. We are inherently sinful and corrupt, and only Jesus in us can transform us. We can't self-manage ourselves into any of the fruit. So as we walk with Him, we display to others Jesus' love, Jesus' joy, Jesus' peace, Jesus' patience, Jesus' kindness, Jesus' goodness, Jesus' faithfulness, Jesus' gentleness, and Jesus' self-control. The fruit of the Spirit is all about Jesus. We display the fruit of the Spirit, and in doing so, we display Jesus. And so as we close, I want to remind myself tonight of who I am. Not a pastor, but a 52-year-old guy, that apart from Jesus Christ, I am literally nothing. And the only good that comes from me is Jesus in me. And if I want to be noticed, I only want to be noticed for who Jesus is in me and through me. So our worship team is going to come, and they're going to lead us in a time of closing worship. But as they come, I want you to think about for a moment how these days in our culture, in our country, perhaps even on our campuses, are unhappy, tense, uncertain, and anxious days for our nation and world. We already knew that the U.S. struggled with anxiety and epidemic proportions before the coronavirus ever hit. Let's pour a pandemic on top of our struggle with anxiety across our nation. So tonight's message, I hope, is a message of hope. It's a message that encourages you to nurture tonight and tomorrow morning and every day and throughout the day hereafter an intimate love relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords who gave himself for you and loves you so much. And as you walk with him, he produces this fruit within you. And people want to taste the fruit of the Spirit. Scripture says, taste and see that the Lord is good. John Piper said, it would be presumptuous not to thank him for his gifts, but it would be idolatry to call the gladness we get from them a love for God. It's another way of expressing, don't get enamored by the gifts and by the fruit of the Spirit. Remember from whom they come. Tonight, I'm inviting you to delight yourself in the Lord afresh. In the words of Jesus in John 15, he says, abide in me, remain in me, and I will remain in you. Delighting is remaining. Delighting is abiding. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Psalm 37:4. Philippians 4:4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Church, as we walk in an intimate love relationship with Jesus, I will bear and you will bear these fruit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And our hungry world will flock to taste how good God is.
We're so glad you found this message today. You can find more resources, including previous podcasts, at northstarfamily.org. Thanks again for listening, and we hope to see you next time at North Star Church.